We've just heard the gospel passage, but I'm not going to talk about getting married and not getting married. That's not the topic that I picked for today. But I do want to focus the last part when it talks about we are called to be the children of God. We are the children of the resurrection. But linking to that, more importantly, that we are a body of Christ. You are the church. We are the church. Now, the Haggai passage that read up by Janet earlier as well, that tells us that God desired to have a place that we worship in. But the church is more than just the physical building, which I'll come back to. We have been looking at missions for the last few weeks, started from the Mission Sunday. And by the 20th of November, when I have invited the city missioner, the CEO, Murray, to speak with us. Now, during this whole mission period of season, we have been looking at different aspects of mission. And it very much relates to who we are, God's people, the children of God, but also being the church of God. Last 2 weeks, I shared and talked about the two main pillars for us as a Christian. One, of course, is the Word of God, and the other is prayer. The two are two fundamental pillars of our Christian life and walk. But today I want to share about being a church, being a body of Christ, because we are not supposed to just operate singly or alone, but we are part of the fellowship that was established and instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, technically, we don't go to church. What do I mean by that? Because we are the church. We are the church. Yes, of course, we can come to a building to worship God. We can do many Christian things inside a building. But the church is more defined by the people who gather. So church is not just a tradition. Yes, we have church tradition, but that's not necessarily define who we are. The church is not entertainment or social activity. Yes, we do some of that, and we fellowship with one another, but it is not to entertain us. The church is not just a building. Yes, it's nice to have a building, special on a wet day, but today, in fact, it's actually quite nice to actually have church outside under the sun. So church is a family made up of people, you and I, a body of Christ. Now, so therefore, our goal is to help our body, our people, not just together, but to remind ourselves, to equip ourselves as God's people to share the good news with others. And that's what we've been talking about, being missional, sharing the good news with one another. So our vision for St. Lucia, as we have been using for the last few years, is simply to know Christ and to make Christ known. Simple as that. That is our call to be God's people. So let us remind ourselves or refresh ourselves of who we are as a body of people. The church is a community, but not an isolated community. That is why I've been challenging us and asking us to have community engagement. We don't live in isolation. We need to be connected to the people outside of our building and our community. So the church is a community of Christ followers. We follow Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head, one Lord, one faith, one God. And the church is a community of Christ followers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit works in your life and my life, and that is the fuel, that is the engine of who we are. One Spirit. And finally, the church is a community of Christ followers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, committed to participate in the Great Commission. And we are familiar with the Great Commission, is to share the good news with others, to make disciples of people, so that more will come to know Jesus Christ. And as the scripture read out to us earlier, it tells us that that is our call, our calling to be and just that. So how to be a church? How to be a church? In the letter today in Ephesians chapter 11 to 16, it gives us some clear indication of how to be a church. When people come into our church, it's not just coming to this physical building, but become part of our community. We want them to see and to experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only that, we reflect to each other God's love and grace. Exercise the love and grace of God. Our God is in the business of restoring and rebuilding lives. So as God's people, as Christians, we are all in the remodeling business. First, we need to sort out our own lives. Then we have the opportunity and the ability to go and help others who may be around us. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, it says, instruct us to do, therefore, to encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. That is what a church is supposed to do. That is what a body of God's people is supposed to do, is to build one another up. So Jesus is building his church. We are his church. We are being built up by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, day by day by day. So let us share a few points about how we may do this. The first point I would like to make is that we need to build others up through the grace of encouragement. The grace of encouragement. In essence, we are to encourage, to exalt, and to comfort one another. Some of us may have been encouraging others. Some of us may have received encouragement from others. Encourage means to build one another up by giving people hope. Encourage or motivation to continue. Hope is such a powerful thing that if we share hope with others, it helps to encourage and to build one another up. Sometimes we get weary. Others people get weary and discouraged through trials and hardship. But the encouragement that we may share with people is that, one, we can be encouraged when we worship God together through psalms and hymns and the scripture and so on. But we also need to encourage one another. We may exhort, that is to urge one another to do what is right and what is the task at hand. We need to comfort one another, to share peace and hope, especially those who may be grieving, who may be facing certain life challenges, and we may share that comfort with them by listening, by understanding their situation, by empathizing them with them, and by sharing God's grace with them. So that's the first one, the grace of encouragement. Then we can build, the second point is that we can build others up through the grace of truth. Many people consider we are living now in an age of post-truth, where there is lacking of absolute and there is a lacking of right and wrong. Some people can be very gracious and accepting. They often encourage others, but they sometimes may not necessarily always speak the truth in honest way to one another. Then on the other side, we may have people who may be very forthcoming and speak their mind and are very zealous about truth and justice, but they tend to sometimes steamroll people in the pursuit of what is right. And I believe that God demands us to have a good balance of both speaking the truth, but also being gracious about it. In Jesus, we see both grace and truth are wed together. While he was on earth, he was a friend to sinners, and people were drawn to Jesus by his acceptance and love. What about us? Are people drawn to God through us, through our acceptance and our love for others? When Jesus was around, people were drawn to him because he spoke the truth. He spoke clearly about the kingdom of God, about grace, about the Father in heaven. And sometimes Jesus' teachings were hard to digest and to accept. But nevertheless, Jesus spoke the truth for what it is. And we see in the life of Jesus, he combines both the traits of speaking the truth, but also extending grace. And so, brothers and sisters, as we do that, we also need to have that good balance of encouragement, exhortation, and comfort, and speaking grace, and giving grace to others, but also dealing it with truth. We need to build one another up, edifying each other, and encourage each other to walk the right way, but also in love and in God's grace. We pray that God would give us opportunity to see around us, to see opportunities where we can extend grace to one another, but also need to speak the truth of one another. My experience that especially, which I welcome as well, is good for me, because Dara always speak the truth to me. And if something that I did not do right or say something, then she would speak to me about it. And I think that's good, because I would want my spouse to share honestly when I am not doing things right. And she can be my critic, but I welcome that, because sometimes I do need the truth be spoken to me. But yet, we need to do it with love and grace. With love and grace. And that's important. It's not to speak the truth and then walk away and leave the person totally, totally destroyed. But speak the truth in love and grace. And that brings us to the last point. We need to build each other up with this gift of grace. This gift of grace. God has created all of us, you and I, a little differently, with different personality and strength. And I can see each one of you have your strength and personality, which God has given you. What I like to encourage all of us is that whatever God has given you as gifts through the Holy Spirit, that use them for the glory and the good for the church. If you are very good in encouraging one another, do more. Sometimes just writing a card, just calling somebody up, and just having a few words to a person. If you're good at comforting people in the midst of grief and suffering, do more of that. Because in the world today, there are a lot of hurts out there that can do more comforting. If there is someone who has strayed a little, be courageous to speak the truth and share so that the person can be corrected. That's probably one of the hardest things to do, because we may fear of offending people, or others may not be so accepting. So, boiling down to two key points then, God wants us to be people who are on the lookout for opportunity to extend grace to one another. Have you ever come into, I have, time and situation where I felt I should have done something, but then I missed the opportunity and it passes me by. So we need to ask God to open our eyes to say, if there's an opportunity to reach out to somebody, to extend grace, to help with some comforting words or encouraging words, do it. Do it. For Dara and I, sometimes we share what happened during the day and so on. And sometimes we share some of these little details. Oh, I should have gone and say that to somebody. But now it's a bit too late because the person is not gone. Seize the opportunity to see with that spiritual eyes that God has given you the spiritual gifts. How can you practice that on one another? The second one is to pray, which I shared last week already. There's a brother who was part of my church back in Singapore. And I have moved on from that church because I've been posted out different places. But for the past 10 years at least, if not longer, he's been praying for me and for my family. How do I know? Because he would often share encouraging words through WhatsApp and so on. And I know certainly that he has been praying for me. And now for me, it's such a comforting thought to know that I have people praying for me. And that's the second point to wrap it up. Is, yeah, if we cannot have opportunity to speak to somebody or sharing a word or whatever, but pray for that person. Pray for him or pray for her. If you know of certain time and situation that that person need, pray. Pray to God. Pray to God that there is something that will happen and take place in that person's life. Ask God to do something in that person's life. So finally, one of the passages to say that to one another, that's what the church is about. It's about sharing the life together, sharing our experiences together, even just starting with good story that we have, starting with some simple things that we have. But let us be the church and build one another up in love, the gift of grace and the grace of truth. Amen.